With the Lord's help, let us turn to Psalm 36 and verse 7. Psalm 36 and verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. It should be our exercise every time we open our Bibles to find the Lord Jesus Christ, some aspect of his eternal power, his earthly ministry, his sufferings, death, resurrection, ascension, session in heaven, his second coming, his final and ultimate glorification as the head of the church and the Saviour of the body. Especially do we find the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Psalms. He himself has told us the same. And there are those Psalms which surely can only speak of Christ. They cannot speak of any other. For instance, if we were to turn to the 22nd Psalm, there it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. It speaks of his humility and his shame. It speaks of that mighty act of man's salvation. And the very opening words are the words which he spoke shortly before he died. As it were, he left them as his last will and testament. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? As he also said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. Then as we come to this verse tonight, here it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps at first glance this is not evident, but we are exhorted to search the Scriptures, because in the Scriptures the Lord Jesus Christ is to be found. And he's to be found as the Saviour of his people. There are, I suppose, two parts to this psalm, or to this verse. Firstly, the exhortation, or the acclamation, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. And then the consequences to the child of God who is able to say through faith, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. How excellent. Or in the margin, if you have a marginal reference Bible, you will see that they have put the word precious. How precious is thy loving kindness, O God? In what way is the loving kindness of God either excellent or precious? And let us be clear that it will only be precious to those that have some knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, some understanding of his holy and heavenly truth, some desire for his righteousness and for his ways. It must be true, of course, that the world does not find any excellency in the loving kindness of God, although, in one sense, they are sharers of it. For the sun shines on the wicked as well as on the righteous. God provides for every living thing. We all benefit daily and every day because of God's loving kindness. If it were not for his loving kindness, this world would have been consumed long ago, and God's anger meted out upon the generation of the wicked. But because of God's loving kindness, the world has been maintained and sustained, and will be to the end of time, whenever that end may be. And so we are all debtors to God, who daily loadeth us with his benefits, whose glory is to be seen in the heavens and upon the earth. The beauty of the Lord in nature and in creation, for the glory of the Lord in the sun and in the stars, in those ethereal heavens. Can we not see everything pointing, as it were with a finger, to the loving kindness of the Lord? But there are particular ways in which the child of God may view it. Firstly, as God's eternal love. You know, our love may be spasmodic. We may love at times and not at others, according to our very temperament and according to the circumstances that surround us. But remember that God's love knows no change, no variation. It is ever the same. God's love did not begin when man began upon the earth. It began long before, in the council of eternity, when God considered all that lay before him in his eternal purposes. And there he viewed a people in Christ Jesus. And really, this is where we are to find Christ in our text. The excellency of God's loving kindness is only displayed through the Lord Jesus Christ. It can come in no other way. As he views his people in Christ, he views them perfect and complete. He views them without spot and sinless. He holds them, as we read this evening, as the apple of his eye. But then there came a time for God to demonstrate his excellent loving kindness to his people. And what a way that was. How marvellous when we consider it. God so loved the world that he gave a willing son. He gave him to be the saviour of his people. You know, if God had purposed, Christ need never have died. No, he could have instilled in the soul of Adam a perfection that could not be altered. But had he done so, God's justice and God's judgment would never be seen. Man would be but robotic in doing the will of God. Now God gave unto man a choice to obey or disobey, to walk with God or to walk apart from God. And how sadly Adam disobeyed, believing the account of the devil more than believing the account of God. They're typical of our very nature, that we would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. That God's excellent loving kindness made provision for man's sin by sending one in man's room, place and stead. Sending him to suffer for sin, to make atonement for the people. And that is why Psalm 22, among other psalms, is so precious. Because there it shows the Lord Jesus Christ suffering, bleeding, and dying. Not on his own account, for he was perfectly sinless, but for the salvation of his people. What loving kindness, that when man was at enmity against God, an enemy of the Lord Most High, the Lord should provide for him one to save him, to save the wretch, and to turn the sinner into a saint. No wonder the psalmist uses such superlatives as this: the excellent or precious loving kindness of the Lord. Again, that excellent loving kindness was to be seen when God would send his Spirit to call man by his grace. Because let us be clear, man would never turn of his own volition to God. He would never come in his own strength. Because he was an enemy to God, he had no desire for the knowledge of God's ways. and would ever and eternally stood aloof from the God of salvation, except the Lord Jesus by his Spirit should send and call man unto himself, whether by the preaching of the gospel, whether through providential circumstances, or whether in some other possible way, the Lord makes that effectual call. A man cannot but help hearing that voice that penetrates even the dead and calls them into life. That voice that can break the stony heart and turn it into an heart of flesh. How dependent we are upon God in everything. The creature can own nothing to himself, so that all glory belongeth unto the Lord. His excellent loving kindness. Has that call come to us? Perhaps at first it is faintly heard. Like Samuel, he heard the voice, but did not know the source from whence it came. But it was a voice that awakened him. A voice that left him wanting and expecting and waiting for more. And the voice came a second time. And again it aroused him. Brought him to a concern. Caused him to cry out, and yet still he did not know the one who spake. But on that third occasion, he recognized it as the voice of the Lord. How singular, how precious the loving kindness of God. To call this young lad, to call him not only with that external call, but to break through his stubborn heart and call him internally. Call him by his grace and by his favour. Call him to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. God still calls his people today. And this is the only way that they will come to him when they hear that call. Yes, the precious invitations of the gospel are personally given. The Lord delights to be in that work of salvation from beginning to end. And because of his excellent loving kindness, he makes his purposes known to those whom he has loved with an everlasting love. And in loving kindness he draws them. None come except the Father draw. Now to hear that voice, to hearken to the invitation, and to feel our hearts softened by the almighty power of God, and then that drawing influence which draws us to our only hope and our only expectation, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Excellent loving kindness. And this really is the only answer to man's great need. For no man can justify himself. No minister or prophet or priest can bring a soul to God. The work begins, continues, and is completed by the Lord Himself. All power is given unto Jesus, both in heaven and in earth. And that power to break through and turn the conscience from the love of sin to the love of the truth. To turn it from being a lover of themselves to being a lover of God. Now these things are found in the experience of God's people. Something of these things must be known and felt. Our religion is not one just of notion, neither is it one of works, but it is one in the Lord and in the power of His might. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. How are we to live upon this earth? That is, how are we to live as Christians upon this earth? We have no strength or ability in and of ourselves. We are dependent upon God. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of this when he speaks of himself as the vine and his people as the branches, that they should go and bring forth fruit to the honour and glory of God. How is this to be accomplished? If man has no might or strength in himself, then he needs the graces of God to be given as a gift, as a donation from the Lord. He cannot earn these. He cannot merit them. They are perfectly free. Given in love because of the excellent loving kindness of the Lord. And one of the great things that a Christian needs to pursue his course here below is the gift of faith. The apostle informs us that we walk by faith and not by sight. At times in our experience, it seems as though it's all by sight and little by faith. But in the final analysis, and sometimes we can only look back upon these things and see how God in his excellent loving kindness gave us that gift of faith just when we needed it. Oh, how we live to prove time and again that we do not have inerrant faith, that faith does not come of ourselves, neither does it come of our religion. Faith is a gift of God and can only come from God. And faith in operation returns us to God. Now much is spoken of good works. Good works can only be good if they come from righteousness. And again, there is none righteous, no, not one. We do not possess a righteousness which is acceptable to God, which is pleasing in His sight. The only righteousness that God will receive is perfect righteousness. And no man has been able to obey the law of God to the very last jot and tittle. And the scriptures declare that if we fail in one point, we fail in all. How we prove that within us, within our flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Then it is only the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that righteousness, we are able to do that which is good. Those good works then proceed from one who is clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And so it can never be found upon nature's ground. It can never be found in the unbeliever. There are those things that we call good works, but in reality, they're not good because the motive behind them is not good. They're done either for selfish reason or for personal gain or for some creature merit. It is only as we are instilled with the Holy Spirit and that knowledge of a crucified Christ who kept the law from beginning to end, who obeyed God perfectly, who finished his course, who laid down his life, who entered into heaven to intercede on the behalf of his people. All that the Father giveth me, says Christ, shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. And the psalmist here speaks from personal experience. He has known something of this for himself. He makes comparison in the earlier part of this psalm with the transgression of the wicked, who within their hearts say that there is no fear of God before his eyes. They judge from their own understanding and from their own works and ways. But the psalmist knew different. He had tasted that the Lord was gracious. He knew that it was his loving kindness that had preserved his soul from death and given him a good hope through grace of his election into heaven and the glory that awaits. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And here the psalmist uses an example from nature to make a very important point. Perhaps he had seen the mother hen gather her brood under her wings for protection when some enemy had threatened. Or perhaps he had seen on high the eagle, again overshadowing the young chicks with her wings, those strong and powerful wings which were their defense. And these young ones, so fearful, so threatened, so weak, so unable of themselves to tend to themselves, yet they had a confidence, and a confidence seemingly that could not be broken. Their confidence was in their mother, who was their protector. They saw her strength. They saw her vitality and ability. And they felt happy in the knowledge that while she was over them, then all was well. Well, when we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, when we have known by blessed experience something of the precious loving kindness of our God, then it gives us a confidence, not a self-confidence, but a confidence in God, that He is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before His Father's throne in glory. When we have come to an end of ourselves, and when we have seen the fulfillment and embodiment of everything in the Lord Jesus Christ, then and only then can we have that confidence to put our trust in Him. You know, these birds in their experience, these young chicks, didn't need to feel their mother with them. The very mere shadowing of her wings was sufficient to give her confidence. They knew that she was near, on the spot, ready to defend, ready to help in every time of need. And isn't this the kind of trust that a child of God has when they have come to know the Lord and something of His works and ways? They put their trust in the shadow, the very shadow of His wings. Yes, sometimes in our experience we cannot feel, as it were, the Lord's hand upon us, or those arms surrounding us. Sometimes we long for such a sensation, to feel the embracement of the Lord, to feel that He is there. But yet, if we have the shadow of His wings, that is, a felt sense of His presence, we may not feel His touch, but to know that He is nigh at hand, He is not a God that is afar off. The Lord is ever with His people. He has promised never to leave them nor to forsake them. They can trust Him. And the more they come to know Him, the more they are able to trust Him. And how the Lord proves His people. He proves them in many ways. He tries them. He tests them. He brings all manner of things into their lives to prove where their love is centered, where their desire is to be found. Now sometimes we need stirring up. And again, taking this analogy from nature, the chick sometimes needs to be aroused. It doesn't need the mother's wing to jolt it into action. The mere shadow is sufficient. And it may be a warning unto the chick to come to order, to be obedient, to wait upon her commands. And so it is sometimes with the Lord Jesus. That excellent loving kindness, the precious loving kindness of the Lord. We have to remember that in everything we are to see that loving kindness. In our very chastisements, in those reverses in our lives, those difficulties which often enter in, these things are to bring us to trust in Him. We were considering recently the disciples on the sea in the storm when the water filled the boat. And there the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep on the pillow. What a test of faith. How it would seem that they miserably failed. And yet the Lord proved them. He tried them. He saw their works. And by this, He led them forth. He led them into those great mysteries. And so we see the disciples later on, when the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended into glory, and the Holy Spirit has come upon them, the boldness and confidence that whatever their situation, they could put their trust in the Lord. Yes, if we are assured that the Lord loves us, then, relatively speaking, it will be a simple thing to put our trust in Him. Does the Lord love me, or does He not? Am I His, or am I not? This is a great point, isn't it? This is a great axis upon which the soul may swing. But we come to that place at last, where we know that we are loved with an everlasting love, simply upon the grounds of this, that we love Him in return. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And that question may be directed to any one of us, if the Lord may be graciously pleased to speak it in our ears, lovest thou me? Can we say with Peter, yea, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee? Peter had fallen. Now he was restored. Peter had learned a deep lesson. Now he was strengthened. And in the same way, the Apostle Paul had to learn that lesson, whereby he came to understand this. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. is not that we fall, but rather that the Lord picks us up. We are not left in a fallen state and conditioned perish, but because of his excellent loving kindness, he deals with us as sons. Sons whom he loves, and sons whom he will draw into his own bosom, that they may be with him. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. What is it to possess a real religion? What is it to have a measure of true faith? Isn't it to be found in this, the sinner's hope? I hope, said one, I shall be saved at last. We hope we shall come to heaven. We hope to be with Christ through a never-ending eternity. Where is the ground of this hope? Where is the place for this expectation? Again, in the excellent loving kindness of the Lord, to save our souls from death, and to bring us safe home to glory at last, are to trust in the Lord and to wait patiently for him, to continue in his ways, delighting to do his will. These are evidences that we have a trust in the Almighty, and that trust shall never make ashamed. O, trust in the Lord, wait patiently for him, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Trust, I say, in the Lord. May he add his blessing. Amen.